Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 12th of October, 2015, the podcast that extrapolates from incomplete. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Travis Retriever. Travis, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back, Shane.
Let's dematerialize the news of the bogus. And our first story is about Ross Ulbricht's life sentence again, and we've covered before how it was basically the result of Judge Catherine Forrest running a kangaroo court. Now, the transcript of how she justified the life sentence has been unsealed, and if anything, it's even worse than we thought.
Yeah, I mean, I could only get through about, like, the first... So I would say between the first half of it, at most. I mean, it's just so full of cliche. Like, she actually calls him privileged and says, oh, you know, well, these are the laws, these are the things our precious social democracy have determined to be wrong. Yeah, just like they did for slavery some 200 years ago, you whore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the real meat of her justifications is like from page 80 to 95 or something like that, if you want to cut to the chase. But yeah, the defense was, well, one of the defenses was that the site Silk Road reduced harm because you could actually buy drugs in a competitive environment, in a safe environment where they couldn't point guns at you or anything.
And of course, her closest thing to a response that she had was basically just saying, no, it is, and...
Well, what she said was, quote, the social costs of drugs are manifest. The user is only one part of the equation. That is where much of this harm reduction argument comes from, and it is focused on the user. Okay, let's think about this. This is like saying, a good set of brakes on your car will prevent accidents. And she comes back and saying, but that's only part of the equation. There's other factors that go into whether you have an accident or not. Yeah, but brakes are still good.
Yeah. It strikes me as appeal to complication. I think basically trying to bullshit some kind of complication or nuance where there isn't any.
Well, and it's also the fact, I mean, she goes on to say, quote, the user is one part of a massive, massive worldwide scheme of drug trafficking, and if you sat where I sat, you would see that the user is not the end. But all that is a result of drugs being illegal.
No kidding.
And so another aspect of the Silk Road was the idea of doing civil disobedience, trying to help people break a law that shouldn't exist to begin with.
By the way, this also brings up something else. It's like, every time we hear this bullshit from people saying, oh, well, you libertarians are losers, like, who are all talk. You never try to actually implement the stuff you...
Yeah.
Yeah, because every time we do, shit like this happens. Also, Liberty Dollar,
yep.
Bitcoin in New York.
Yep.
I'm sure you could go on with many more examples.
Uber.
Yeah, Uber.
But what she had said to that was, quote, no drug dealer from the Bronx selling meth or heroin or crack has ever made these kind of arguments to the court.
And her point is...
Yeah, because they're actual criminals as opposed to otherwise law-abiding people trying to find a way around these ridiculous laws, you know.
Yeah.
It's a false equivocation.
And after that is when she goes on saying that his argument is a privileged one.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you libertarians are so privileged. You have education and... Okay, said the woman who has the entire government at her beck and call as a member of the state.
Well, listen to this one for an example of missing the point. Quote, you were captain of the ship as the Dread Pirate Roberts, and you made your own laws, and you enforced those laws. So it wasn't a world without restriction. It wasn't a world of ultimate freedom. It was a world of laws that you created. They were your laws. It is fictional to think of Silk Road as some place of freedom.
Grief. This seems to be a common trend with not just hillocks like her, but also statists in general who can't tell the difference between a law that's enforced at the point of a gun and a simple rule.
If I have a restaurant and I prohibit smoking in my restaurant, that's freedom. If government points guns at me and makes me prohibit smoking in my own restaurant, that's force.
It's a distinction just about every statist seems to be completely clueless about. And their idea of, quote, freedom seems to be just free to do whatever you want, you know, Mad Max and all that other bollocks. I think it was Mary J. Ruart who probably was one of the ones who put it best. Not freedom to do whatever you want, but freedom from aggression.
Yes, absolutely. She also talked about Dr. X, who is a trained physician who was on Silk Road consulting them about how to use drugs responsibly. Quote, The court notes that there is the presence of Dr. X, who deserves special mention and is particularly despicable that he has been pointed to as a big part of the harm reduction. I have read each and every post of Dr. X and I was blown away and infuriated by it. It is absolutely clear that Dr. X is part of the problem, he is not part of the solution, and again, it is magical thinking to think so. She doesn't say why, of course. She doesn't say what was wrong with his advice. He was giving advice that was factually incorrect.
That's pretty much the entirety of what I've more or less read from her. Basically, it's just all platitudes, emotional, and other such bullshit appeals. Like, oh, well, we live in a democracy. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean, have determined these things to be bad.
So this next one goes to an aspect of this trial we've talked about before, quote, Ulbricht's directed violence here and is relates to the murders for hire, which he is alleged to have commissioned and paid for. Remember that word, alleged. The court must determine whether these allegations have been demonstrated by a preponderance of the evidence. Wait a minute, isn't that the jury's job? And I find that there is ample and unambiguous evidence that Ulbricht commissioned 5 murders as part of his efforts to protect his criminal enterprise and that he paid for these murders. Okay. I remind you, he was not charged with that. And even if we forgive the fact that this should actually be a question for a jury, she let it in, despite the fact that since it's not a charge, Ulbricht's defense would not get a chance to respond to it. And she let it in by saying that it wasn't prejudicial, which means that it wouldn't have adversely affected the verdict or sentencing. And here she is just stating outright that she's using this as a big justification for her life sentence.
Oh, but if we have private police, and in this case courts, like, you know, oh, they won't respect your rights, they'll treat you like crap, they'll be abusive. And yet, notice how that's happening now, and yet the private arbitration, DRO type stuff, funny how none of those horrible things exist with the private equivalent.
Yeah, but that's the way it usually goes, isn't it? They complain that something would happen with libertarianism that's already happening with the state.
Pretty much. I mean, can you imagine that being done in any other field? Oh my god, I'd have you sectioned for that.
So, of course, there's the allegation that Silk Road was creating drug users right and left, and, of course, there was no reason to believe that. You know, people would go on Silk Road maybe because they were buying it there and not from their local dealers. Well, she said, quote, There is no reason to believe, and certainly we cannot know whether, in the absence of the ease of use, of privacy, and the other features of Silk Road, that these first-time users or those trying different drugs for the first time would have done so in the absence of Silk Road. It is just wishful thinking to believe that Silk Road was a zero-sum game. Okay, forgiving the fact that there are about 500 other places on the dark web they could go to get it from. We don't know. We don't have any way of knowing. We don't have any reason to believe one way or another, so shouldn't that go towards the defense? I thought we were innocent until proven guilty here!
But let's even say that this, I don't know, like, doubled the drug users overnight. So fucking what? It's their bodies and their money, is it not? I mean, good grief.
So here's another one about the idea that it just might be better if people get their drugs online in a venue where no one can commit violence against them than by getting it from violent thugs on the street. Well, she said, quote, The social costs associated with arrests for crime committed to support the habit, not the hand-to-hand drug deal, but when those people are addicted and when those people are desperate, they're often stealing. They're stealing to support the habit. Let there be no mistake. There is no way in the world that Silk Road could actually reasonably be expected to reduce violence.
Okay, the reason people will steal and go through all that crap is because drugs are expensive. Because they're illegal.
But with hundreds of these darknet websites all competing with each other, and even just on Silk Road, you know, you had hundreds if not thousands of individual drug dealers competing with each other, competing based on price and quality and service and things like that, people were actually getting drugs cheaper, and if you can get drugs cheaper, then it's less likely that you'll have to steal to cover the habit. So, I mean, she just completely fails to consider that aspect of it. So here's a quote that I kind of think sums up her viewpoint about the whole thing, quote, All the evidence shows that you viewed Silk Road both as above the law and the laws didn't apply, and in this context, the fact that the laws are what distinguished us from what is uncivilized, that they are the embodiment. Laws are the embodiment, and they are the manifestation of our democratic process. When that gets lost, it becomes meaningless.
I wasn't aware pointing guns at people to obey your whim was, quote, civilized. Last I checked, that was, I don't know, kind of the opposite of civilization.
Yeah, I mean, if laws are what make people civilized, then Nazi Germany must have been the most civilized country in existence. But it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Laws are what allow people to be uncivilized and get away with it.
Especially people in government. But, you know, it doesn't count when they do it because potato.
But, I mean, reading through this, it's bad enough that we have this one trial where these horrible things are happening, and hopefully the appeals court will throw it all out. If they don't, it'll be kind of scary because it's not just this bad reasoning, it's all the precedents have been set. All this evidence that she says, the evidence shows, this evidence is conclusive. It's pretty much all digital evidence. And the thing about digital evidence is, unless you have uncompromised digital signatures where you can confirm that the person who wrote this message was in possession of a private key that corresponds with the public key that you used to verify the signatures, unless you have that going on, then it's impossible to authenticate it. Anyone with a text editor could sit there and just recreate all of this evidence. We know for a fact that several of the FBI agents involved were corrupt and were just doing this to pad their own accounts with millions of dollars in Bitcoin. And there's no chain of custody here. There's no real way of saying this is where they got it and it was copied to this and then copied to that. You have a host of a website being convicted because of crimes committed by the users, which that has been a big separation this whole time. You can't...
A separation that admittedly has been getting chipped away at for several years now, courtesy of the DMCA.
Well, yeah, but at least in non-copyright contexts, it's held up.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't hold a site operator responsible for actions of the users, and that's what they're doing here. You have the general warrants of the kind that the Fourth Amendment expressly prohibits. You can't just write a warrant to say, look around and see what you see. You have to specify what you're looking for, where you expect to find it, where you're going to search, what you're going to take, all of that. And especially considering we have issues like some of the servers being overseas, even though they physically didn't go overseas, even though they hacked into it, that's a big issue too. There was the fact that his libertarian views were completely precluded from the trial. He wasn't allowed to defend any of the arguments that she specifically dismissed in her transcript time and time again. She dismissed the libertarianism because he was not allowed to defend any of that. And she also makes it clear time and time again that she's doing this to set an example as a warning to other people saying, hey, look what happens if you do this. And that, again, goes against every principle of jurisprudence. So, I mean, this isn't just about the dark web. This isn't just about Ross Ulbricht or anything like that. These are very important precedents that if they continue, they could really undermine everything our justice system is all about.
It reminds me of these really thick assholes saying, oh, well, you know, you just shut up and stop whining about it in public. You know, you should go through the process and stuff, her dirt, which I say... Rebuttal would be this BS. Don't give me a bullshit choice and then pretend to be surprised when I start looking for alternatives, in my case involving social ostracism and calling people out on their bullshit in public.
Yeah, you have to do it in a way where we're forcing you to use this card dealer who is openly stacking the deck in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Say, if you're tired of the promos in this podcast, well, the patrons got it early and with no ads or promos. Just go to patreon.bogosity.tv and donate at any level.
Hi, I'm Dave. You may recognize me from previous Bogosity episodes. However, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm also part of a podcast, the Superplex Brothers Podcast. Head on over to superplexbros.com. You can check out the podcast for video games and pro wrestling. We also have news, reviews, and editorials, and all kinds of stuff just to talk about video games and pro wrestling and everything else that comes in between. So if you're into that, why don't you come check us out?
Okay, so after another mass shooting in a place where people weren't allowed to carry firearms, of course, Obama wasted no time to get on TV and with his usual supercilious smarminess denounced this heinous act and called for more gun control to prevent it.
Despite being from Chicago, yeah, how's that shit working out for you folks? Lol.
Yeah. Almost at the same time, forces ultimately led by Obama himself used drones to bomb a hospital run by Doctors Without Borders.
Funny that this is the same guy who has a platoon of armed men guarding him.
Isn't that something else? All the celebrities and politicians who say, oh, we need to get rid of guns, are always flanked by one or more security guards armed with guns.
Yeah.
So MSF called the strike an attack on the Geneva Conventions, and they urged an independent investigation, which, of course, the Obama administration is stonewalling.
Match.
And they want an investigation under the International Humanitarian Fact-Finding Commission, which was formed in 1991, and which requires a request by one of the 76 nations that have signed on to it. The United States is not one of those, by the way. So, MSF President Dr. Joanne Liu said, quote, "Governments up to now have been too polite or afraid to set a precedent. The tool exists, and it is time it is activated. We reiterate our request that the U.S. government consent to an independent investigation led by the International Humanitarian Fact-Finding Commission to establish what happened in Kunduz, how it happened, and why it happened."
And the absolute worst part, though, is on the left defending him, oh, well, yeah, but we have to fight them over there, so we don't have to fight them over here. And I'm like, wait, this sounds familiar. Weren't these the exact same arguments the right were using defending Bush and his wars? And of course, no, Obama didn't do it, the military did. Yes, but Obama is also the commander-in-chief, that is, the leader of the military.
The buck stops way over there.
By that quote, logic, close quote, Hitler didn't murder anyone. Oh no, Hitler didn't kill any Jews or gays or disability people. No, it was the Nazis. How dare you disrespect our four, herpader.
Now, of course, after something like this happens, it's kind of chaotic, it's hard to get good numbers, so this may be subject to change, but as of Wednesday, according to CNN, the strike killed 12 doctors and at least 10 patients, three of them were children, and wounded another 37. So lawyer Stephen Kay pointed out, quote, "Hospitals enjoy a special protected status under international humanitarian law, so to attack a hospital or medical facility, whether it is a civilian or military installation, is a crime." And it would be a nice, refreshing change if the most transparent administration in history would actually come out and say what happened, but actually, they've changed their story four times. They said that the airstrike was called because U.S. forces were in danger there. Then they said Afghan forces called for the airstrike. And then General John Campbell testified to a Senate panel. He reiterated this idea about Afghan forces requesting air cover, but he modified that account by saying that the Afghan forces had not directly communicated with the U.S. Quote, "Even though the Afghans request that support, it still has to go through a rigorous U.S. procedure to enable fires to go on the ground. We had a special operations unit that was in close vicinity that was talking to the aircraft that delivered those fires." But then they changed their story again and said that it was bombed by accident. And MSF Director General Christopher Stokes said that regardless of what the real story is, quote, "The U.S. military remains responsible for the targets it hits, even though it is part of a coalition." And he also pointed out that MSF had regularly shared the GPS coordinates of the hospital with U.S. coalition and Afghan forces and had updated it as recently as the 29th of September.
The fact of the matter is, no matter how they try to splice it, they bombed a fucking hospital.
Right. So you also have Jason Cohn, executive director for Doctors Without Borders U.S., quote, Today's statement from General Campbell is just the latest in a long list of confusing accounts from the U.S. military about what happened in Kunduz on Saturday. They are now back to talking about a mistake. A mistake that lasted for more than an hour, despite the fact that the location of the hospital was well known to them and that they were informed during the airstrike that it was a hospital being hit. All this confusion just underlines once again the crucial need for an independent investigation into how a major hospital full of patients and MSF staff could be repeatedly bombed. And yeah, that's something like, it's not like it's 5 seconds they flew over, dropped bombs, flew off, and went, oops. You know, they were bombing this thing for an hour, strike after strike after strike.
And even if it was a case of a simple mistake, all that shows is that they're completely incompetent at best.
Yeah.
And malicious and not giving a fuck at worst. Look, the Obamatons defending this crap, when if it were happening under Bush, they would have hit the ceiling.
If you're on the Wi-Fi in a coffee shop or hotel, anyone on that network can get your traffic. Do you really trust all of those strangers? For that matter, do you really trust your ISP? A VPN can protect you from prying eyes, disguise your location, and even foil government censors. It's essential in this day and age, so go to vpn.pagosity.tv and you'll be taken to BoxPN. Starting at just $2.99 a month, you can get unlimited high-speed connections to VPN servers all over the world, and they don't log connections, so your privacy is assured. Traveling abroad, just VPN home, and don't worry about what those other governments are doing. Back at home, stop your ISP from traffic shaping and messing with the quality internet access you're paying good money for. You can connect from multiple machines at once, including your smartphone or tablet, and it supports all the secure standards, including OpenVPN and SSTP. Bypass sensors and surveillance with your own secure VPN connection. Go to vpn.pagosity.tv. Okay, so Harvard University has a debate team that just won a national title, and then a few months later lost to a bunch of prison inmates in New York.
And people wonder why I roll my eyes at most of these institutions in academia in general these days.
So this was at Eastern Correctional Facility in New York. It's a maximum security prison, and they have a program there where convicts can take courses taught by faculty from Bard College. And the inmates there formed a debate club, and they invited Harvard to come debate with them. And a 3-judge panel concluded that this team of prisoners had raised strong arguments that the Harvard team had failed to consider when they were debating them in return, and declared the inmates the victors.
So yet another nail in the coffin that is academia. I mean, folks like Thunderfoot will, for example, cry that social justice, for example, in postmodernist BS is, oh, it's a plague upon academia. No, it wasn't. They welcome that shit, and people wonder why there's so much anti-intellectualism, or rather anti-pseudo-bullshit intellectualism these days.
So, Max Kenner, the founder and executive of the Bard Prison Initiative, said, quote, "Debate helps students master arguments that they don't necessarily agree with. It also pushes people to learn to be not just better litigators, but to become more empathetic people, and that's what really speaks to us as an institution about the debate union." And the subject was whether public schools should be allowed to deny enrollment to undocumented students, in other words, children of illegal aliens. One of the judges, Mary Nugent, told Wall Street Journal that the Bard team had made the case that the schools which serve undocumented children often did underperform, and the debaters made the case that if these schools refused to enroll the children, then wealthier schools and nonprofits and private schools will intercede and try and offer them better education. And Harvard's debaters had no response to that, basically. They had no response to the idea that schools could actually compete and actually make things better without this forced requirement going on.
Anyone who knows the way the folks at Harvard operate would not be surprised by this. Like, this is an institution that, I want to say about 6.5 years ago, hosted a conference, and I swear to God I'm not making this up, Basically, it was analyzing why people still believe in the free market to the point of saying that, well, you're a free marketeer, you should be psychologically evaluated. Like, what is it that proves so alluring to scholars, policymakers, and the like, despite it being the magic of the market being an illusion, Herder? So basically, it was a conference of them saying, why is it these people think a life run by themselves and not being herded at gunpoint by a bunch of Harvard PhDs like us and other experts is the best way to live, despite the fact that collectivism and health statism and our central planning BS in general has failed every single chance it's been tried, and then some, a failure so staggering and blatant that only a complete blockhead could miss it. How could they possibly think voluntary association is the way to live?
But I have to give it up for the Harvard debate team here for being good sports about it. Quote, "There are few teams we are prouder of having lost a debate to than the phenomenally intelligent and articulate team we faced this weekend, and we are incredibly thankful to Bard and the Eastern New York Correctional Facility for the work they do and for organizing this event."
Okay, well, at least they were good sports about it. I mean,
at least in public, who knows what they said behind closed doors, but...
Well, oh, Jesus. God. Oh, Jesus.
But, I mean, this looks like a really successful program. The students who earned degrees while they were in custody, fewer than 2% returned to prison within 3 years, compared to the statewide recidivism rate of 40%.
Damn.
So that's right. Hey, you know, if you teach them something, if they actually learn something, if they have skills they can actually apply in the real world without being violent, just maybe they'll decide to do that instead.
Alarm me, surprise.
But no, it must be that human beings are horrible, and that's why we need government and laws and police and jails.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, our students going through K through 12 over 13 plus years of formal education and not having a single real-world skill or something they can use on a job? That is inexcusable.
Yeah.
There is no excuse for that. Even more so when you take into account the Flynn effect.
Oh yeah, the observation that IQs are actually increasing over time. We're becoming smarter, not dumber.
Now you can make Amazon purchases with Bitcoin by going to purse.bogosity.tv. That's P-U-R-S-E. Moreover, most purchases can be made at a discount. Save an average of 20% just by buying from Purse, or get even greater discounts by linking your Amazon wish list. Go to purse.bogosity.tv. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide the means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv.
And now let's downscope this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Doug Safir, or Safir, I'm not sure how to pronounce that last name, but guess what? It's more e-cigarette bogosity.
Oh, jeez.
He says, quote, "Thursday, October 1st marks the beautiful day in history that Connecticut has put some restrictions on the use of e-cigarettes. Most of the same ones on regular cigarettes, since they're both pretty terrible for the people who use one and anyone who is near someone using one."
Didn't you point out that the word wasn't secondhand smoke, it was, I think, something else? You said instead to where the harm of it was shown to be complete bunk?
Yeah, I mean, it's just water vapor, with maybe a little few trace amounts of nicotine in there, but,
yeah. Well, one, they're shown to be much less harmful than actual cigarettes, even if they are worse than not smoking at all.
Yeah.
Two, there's the fact that many people have actually quit smoking entirely because of e-cigs, which, when you take that into account, absolutely makes knowing their use relevant.
So these restrictions include no e-cigarettes near or in state buildings, no e-cigarettes near or in schools, and no e-cigarettes near or in health facilities. Now, the only one I'm kind of willing to meet them halfway on is health facilities.
Yeah.
Because even though you can't really show that there's any harm coming from the secondhand vapors, That's really a place where you want to take the precautionary principle and crank it up to 11.
Yeah.
Because there's people there with all sorts of illnesses, all sorts of disorders, and you don't know how someone with, you know, a certain type of cancer or whatever is going to react to that. So that one I'll go with him on.
Yeah.
At least until we have more information.
Well, of course.
But he makes this big deal of, quote, businesses that serve alcohol are not on the list of places to ban smoking, which is absolutely ridiculous, because alcohol is so much safer than smoking.
Oh, Jesus. I want to know what the saddest part of this point is. Crack.com, of all people, yes, the same group who were railing about how e-cigarettes are to evil, even going as far as Food Babe tear fail with the formaldehyde nonsense in her dur.
Yeah, we covered that.
Yeah. They actually posted an article back when they weren't rubbish, doing laws that backfired, and one of those laws they showed that was counterproductive was banning smoking in bars.
Mm-hmm.
Since I think what they showed was that since they couldn't smoke at or near the bars, especially in places where it's colder, what they were instead more likely to do, okay, so then they have to go somewhere else, i.e. home to smoke, which means that they're more likely to drive home drunk.
Yeah. And more likely to smoke around their children and stuff like
that. Of course. Now, this could at least be somewhat alleviated if they could have, you know, some kind of voluntary, mini, non-expensive taxi kind of, or chauffeuring service to get them home.
Uber?
Something like Uber. But I've been told of other ones that were also shut down because it violated tipping and, oh, well, you're tipping a driver who's not a taxi driver, so, and that's illegal or something, way back when.
I don't know. Uber drivers don't take tips, but maybe that's the reason why.
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, quote, as a non-smoker, e-cigarettes in a bar are just as bad as the real thing, and I think by the real thing he means tobacco smoke, so already it's fail.
Yeah.
I'm not fully educated on all the differences between cigarettes and e-cigarettes. Gee, you don't say.
Actually, I can think up of one right off the top of my head. From what I understand, it's just water, sometimes flavored, with maybe a trace of nicotine in it for the e-cig stuff.
Yep.
And wait, aren't these same anti-smoker people the very same people who crank up the anti-smoking ad saying, oh, but it has 1,000 different really horrifying chemicals in it, like a cyanide and,
Right.
So just more excuses for control, but then what else is new?
Oh, yeah, I mean, they fully got exposed on that long ago. This is not about public health, but anyway, quote, but they both seem pretty obnoxious and not good for you. I've been to trivia nights at bars where one minute you're enjoying a beer and testing your knowledge of world history, and the next you're in a cloud of somebody's secondhand smoke. E-cigs do not produce smoke! Can we get this through people's heads?
It's just water vapor. These are our betters, people. The people who can't even tell the difference between smoke and water vapor.
Electronic or not, that's pretty damn gross. And the fact that we're still allowing it is a travesty. Being in a bar does not mean we're consenting to inhale addictive or dangerous vapors. Bars should do their best to ban e-cigarettes on their own, and hopefully the law will develop into a full measure eventually.
That's the bar owner's choice. And yeah, okay, if you go into a bar voluntarily that does not prohibit that stuff, then yes, you are consenting that. If you really think otherwise, then go to a bar that does already prohibit it by their own choice. Oh, actually, I think I'm going to read this little comment by Dan Berletta Sr. If anyone is afraid of water vapor with a little nicotine in it, you better ban cars, trucks, and factories. That's the pollution that kills.
Oh, yeah. You walk outside and breathe the fumes out of those things. That's far more dangerous than you'll get from secondhand vapes. Or maybe even firsthand vapes.
Who knows? And, of course, reminds me of that one person, oh god, on your YouTube channels, basically pulling the anti-vaxxer conspiratard method of saying, oh, well, we don't know. We need more research. Ergo, we should ban it just to be safe.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So all of that makes Doug Safier this week's biggest Bogan emitter. Hackers. Terrorists. The NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password.
LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Back up sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.pagosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.pagosity.tv and get LastPass now.
And now it's time to force-feed Pop Rocks and Pepsi to this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Francisco Rangel, governor of the state of Bolivar in Venezuela. And we've been talking about the situation there and how socialism is just wrecking the economy. Recently, the state took over food distribution because, of course, all the starvation there was due to evil capitalists.
Yeah.
So, no surprise, there's now a widespread food shortage. Who could have seen that coming?
Everyone with a functioning brain and who has even a faint passing knowledge of economics, but... yeah.
<I'll>... Aside from that! So, Rangel apparently decided to one-up the ridiculous let-them-eat cake with his own let-them-eat-fried rocks.
I think I'd rather have the cake.
But see, they don't even have cake down there.
Sad face.
So this was in his radio show on September 29th. He said the Venezuelan people should not yield to temptation or worry about not being able to find flour or sardines to buy. Quote, let them take away whatever they want. I don't know who they are supposed to be. I guess it's those evil capitalists again. We are capable of eating a stick. Or instead of frying two eggs, fry two rocks and we will eat fried rocks. Now, something else you notice, by we, he means them.
The peasants.
Yeah, the common folk. I'm sure he's dining on fried eggs every morning or whatever he wants.
Yeah, and of course, whenever you try to point out that this is socialism, every single defender of it will be like, but Scandinavia!
Yeah.
Yeah, a fact that has been rebutted so many times is to be ridiculous.
Yeah, and he raised more calls about the economic war and the induced inflation that is absolutely not at all caused by the Venezuelan government printing up a bunch of money, like has caused every other instance of inflation in history.
Yeah, that's actually something that was inconspicuously absent from my textbook on economics, and this is like at a college and the like, It was, they never actually said where inflation comes from. Only they just acted like it's a fact of life, like the sun rising and setting. I mean, I think they gracefully hinted at it, like, you know, maybe calling it a sign of a growing economy or some other such bollocks, which is completely asinine if you think about it, and belief, in a sense, if that were true, then why do they control for inflation whenever they figure economic growth, but, you know.
Yeah. So he said, quote, now that prices are sky high, we need to fight against this together. Let them not feel like they have beaten us, I guess them being those horrible capitalists again. Meanwhile, the cost of basic food needs in Bolivar has increased by 18.79%.
Holy shit.
Andre Bello Catholic University estimated that a family has to earn $54.63 a month just to satisfy their food requirements, and that's roughly six times the monthly minimum wage.
Yikes.
And this is amidst the highest inflation in the world. Annual cost of living is increasing at a rate of 633%.
Holy fucking shit.
Yep.
Why people defend this shit is just simply beyond me.
It's always the leaders eating well while people starve in breadlines.
But that wasn't true socialism, Herder.
There never has been true socialism, so we need to implement true socialism. Oh, but there's never been a libertarian state, so you don't get to implement libertarianism.
Yeah, I have zero patience for people who pull that narrative-changing, inconsistent bollocks.
But come on, telling people to eat fried rocks? What else could possibly top that to make anyone other than Francisco Rangel this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire?
Well, that wraps up this the hell edition of the Bogosity Podcast. As always, you can come to forum.bogosity.tv to read the show notes and join the discussion. This podcast depends on you to keep going, so please donate using the links on the website or at patreon.bogosity.tv. And feel free to join in by sending a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. You can even stick in an audio file if you want. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Travis Retriever for joining me.
You're welcome from your favorite furry.
Until next time, here's a quote from Doris Lessing. Ideally, what should be said to every child repeatedly throughout his or her school life is something like this. You are in the process of being indoctrinated. We have not yet evolved a system of education that is not a system of indoctrination. We are sorry, but it is the best we can do. What you are being taught here is an amalgam of current prejudice and the choices of this particular culture. The slightest look at history will show how impermanent these must be. Those of you who are more robust and individual than others will be encouraged to leave and find ways of educating yourself, educating your own judgments. Those that stay must remember, always and all the time, that they are being molded and patterned to fit into the narrow and particular needs of this particular society. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.
It just occurred to me that, so since I'm donating to you via Patreon and even volunteering on your podcast, does that mean that we can say that you're my shell or something?
Yeah, we probably could.
I had to say it. I just had to say it. I've been waiting for ages to say that.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Just for the record, I appreciate all the co-hosts. They all do this on a volunteer basis, and I would never ask them to donate or anything as they're already putting their time in, so I really appreciate you doing both there.